photochemical way to make, put it together.
All right.
Yeah, there we go.
Using a little solder or?
No, actually, so do you know what the Norrish type 1 reaction is? It's like a obscure named reaction.
Yeah, okay.
But it's basically if you take a ketone with substituents of the alpha carbons and you irradiate it with UV light, the carbonyl leaves as carbon monoxide, and then the two alpha carbons form radicals that can come back together.
Really?
So what we do is we do crystallize ketones.
What are on the alpha carbons?
So it has
to be... You
need pi substituents, basically.
Yeah.
So you need things that can stabilize the radical.
Exactly.
But what we do is...
So you have a conjugated... It's a conjugated with the carbonyl group?
Yeah. So what happens is when...
That is neat.
Yeah, you make those radicals. But what we do is we do it neat in a crystal. So normally you do a reaction solution, but we do it, we crystallize it, and then in the crystalline lattice, the radicals can't really do anything else but bond.
Yeah,
so
that's
we get
good.
Really high yields of...
So
like,
you stabilize, yeah,
yeah,
radicals.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. That's pretty neat, yeah.
Do you need nitrogen atmosphere, or...?
No, it's all in the solid, so we basically, it's a neat reaction. We don't do any, no solvent.
I just wonder where the oxygen... in the atmosphere gets involved.
It doesn't. No, it just basically you have two homolytic cleavages between the carbonyl carbon and the alpha carbon.
Yeah.
Lose carbon monoxide and then those two radicals come back together. Yeah, that's cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So you do biophysical chemistry?
Yeah, I did my work in hemoglobin.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, studying the hemoglobin is a tetramer.
Yeah.
The four, you know, it's the four myoglobin-like units. They have two chains that are each similar. So you have these alpha beta dimer chains, and then they link with ionic and, you know, hydrophobic bonds and things like this.
It's like,
and they have two states of the tetramer.
T and R.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You study that stuff?
Yeah.
And so the roots, the X-ray crystallography of it, got the Nobel Prize for it. And they were having, the big challenge was to explain the sigmoidal oxygenation curves.
Oh, yeah.
You know, myoglobin, so the percent saturated versus, you know, the oxygen PO2.
This is the Hill equation, right?
Yeah, well, this is what happened. What they wanted to, if you do myoglobin and you just add oxygen to it, it's a normal saturation curve like this.
Yeah.
Increases rapidly and then levels off.
Uh-huh.
Then hemoglobin is this. Sigmoidal.
Yeah.
This was measured in 1900.
Yeah.
Like, well, nobody could explain it.
Uh-huh.
There were all kinds of theories.
Yeah.
From 1900 to late 60s. When Perutz got the X-ray crystallography. And he got the crystals, he can crystallize deoxyhemoglobin.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be dimming the cabin light, so if you do need a little extra reading light, look above your head.
And one hit.
With the light bulb. I know it's kind of warm on the cabin. The best thing I can tell you is everybody stick their hands up
on
the air vents and open them wide
right.
As soon as we take off. We'll
and if you expose
cool
the oxy crystals to oxygen,
thank
they
you.
Break.
Really?
So it means they undergo, they confirmation when they oxygen binds, there's a confirmation change.
Oh, wow. Even in the solid state?
Yeah.
Wow. Huh.
So this is wild. And then Perutz did the X-ray crystallography difference.
So he got the
difference spectrum. And he found that in deoxy, the heme group, this is the side of the heme.
Uh-huh.
The iron in deoxy is out of the center. It's not in the middle. It's out. And then oxygen attacks from this side, pulls the iron into the plane.
Oh, cool.
But of course, in the protein, this iron on this side is attached to a
histidine.
Amino acid, histidine.
Yeah.
You got the histidine.
Yeah.
And it's linked. You've got the EF helices.
Oh, okay.
So his thing was a mechanical mechanism.
Huh.
Everybody was laughing at him.
Huh.
Now he says, yeah, this gets pulled into the plane, and then that causes, you know, a movement, you know, in the EF Heelys, and that's going to break salt bridges,
you know,
between the dimers, and then there's going to be a switch.
Huh. Huh. Yeah.
So I was doing work not on, see this, in hemoglobin, iron is in the plus two state. I was working with methemoglobin, that's oxidized.
Uh-huh.
And methemoglobin is really cool because it doesn't bind to oxygen, but it binds to anions.
Okay.
Fluoride, hydroxide, cyanide, azide. And they found out that, you know, you did the orbital theory, mm-hmm. high spin, low spin?
Yeah.
So, iron 3, and this is basically, the heme is 4 nitrogens, iron, so it's octahedral structure once you bound the 6 ligand.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so, in that situation, you've got the d orbital split, okay,
mm-hmm.
into 2 groups, okay. DXY, DY, DXZ, DYZ, DX squared minus Y squared, DZ squared. And iron has 5 electrons in the D orbitals. And then whether the electrons are unpaired or they pair up depends upon this delta value.
Yeah.
And this delta value depends on the nature of the thinking.
Like weak field versus strong field.
Strong field.
Yeah.
So cyanide makes this very high, and the electrons pair up.
Uh-huh.
Fluoride is low, delta, and then the electrons are individual.
Uh-huh.
So that's where you get the high spin, low spin. So that's the high spin, 5 unpaired. Then the low spin, okay, the low spin will be 1 unpaired.
Right.
Well, they have a difference in magnetic susceptibility.
Yeah.
And so, here's the wildest thing. When you do azide and hydroxide, you get a thermal equilibrium of the high and low spin. Yeah.
Huh.
Cyanide is all low spin.
Uh-huh.
And temperature doesn't change.
Uh-huh.
Fluoride, it's all high spin.
Uh-huh.
The magnetic susceptibility doesn't change. Azide hydroxide, it does.
So what happens,
the delta is just at a state that changing in temperature, you know, even 5 degrees, 10 degrees, 20 degrees, you start shifting the equilibrium position. Isn't that cool?
So the population, yeah, that's weird.
Well, one guy did it. The guy I was working with, I was actually in Africa at that time.